Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. I am Mark, your host, and with me as normal, Ryan. How you doing, Ryan?
It's nice to not be talking about a hockey team.
Yes, for those of you that haven't cottoned on to it yet, we're in the Salt Lake City market, and today was a big day because we stole a hockey team from Phoenix. But not really. We apparently we just stole their players and their assets, but not their name, their history, their none of that.
It's not that any of you care about this, but it is like what happened to the Cleveland Browns
when they
left Cleveland.
Yep, I was about to say it's exactly what happened. That Cleveland got to keep all of the history, but didn't have a team for 5 years or however long it was.
Exactly.
So we're now Indianapolis in this scenario.
Yes.
Is how that works. But on a lighter note, there's movies coming out this week.
Actually, this is is it a lighter note? Yeah, I guess it is. Sure.
One of them is slightly lighter. Two of the movies coming out this week. Different films. The first one, Guy Ritchie returns. I'm absolutely convinced this is the spiritual successor to The Man from U.N.C.L.E., even though chronologically it would be a prequel. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which, man, there has to be a law on film titles that are too long.
I'm just going to tell you, I'm getting old. And so I keep referring to this as an ungentlemanly film I keep making up.
Well, I keep crossing it over with The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yes.
In my head. And that they are not the same movie. This is ready. This is our favorite phrase. This is based on true events.
Yeah.
Recently declassified from Winston Churchill's secret files.
2016.
About an actual mission during World War II, in which a ragtag group of ne'er-do-wells and cast-offs attempt to cripple the entire Nazi U-boat fleet.
It's Suicide Squad.
It's Mission Impossible. It's Suicide Squad. It's all of these things.
Well, they're not necessarily bad guys. I guess they're just they're the good guys who don't follow rules.
Right. And yes, they're given a certain amount of leeway to accomplish. I think it's Mission Impossible. It really is Mission Impossible or pre-Bond.
If you get caught.
Yes.
We're not going to acknowledge that we sent you.
Yes.
Even if you get caught by our side.
Yes.
So the
British send these poor lads to almost certain doom. So Guy Ritchie, after Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, this is a nice return to form. The Covenant was definitely a Ritchie film, but it was a weird one.
I don't know about that. I just thought it was pretty awful.
Well,
That's me.
That's fair. That's fair. And so we approach you. You can go listen to our talk on that if you'd like. I'll link it in my review. But we approach that film from two separate viewpoints. But this is more classic Guy Ritchie.
Yes. Sort of.
Yeah. Well, no, it is. It's got the same. Those quick cut title cards, snarky yet serious style. I mean, it's all, there's a couple differences and we're going to get to that. Henry Cavill Alan Richson, Alex Pettyfer, Isaac Gonzalez, Carrie Elwes, Hero Finds Tiffin, Babs Olusemakun, wow, Henry Golding, Rory Kinnear. This is a great, great cast.
Yeah, he does
tend to get really good casts together, which is always fun. So then if his movie can carry it, that's even better. But yeah, so they have to sail from England to around the big fat part of Eastern or of Western Africa to this island that is run by the Spanish, but that the not who are neutral at this point in the war, but who the Nazis are using the port as a resupply port for all of their U-boats. That is the plot.
It's the air filters.
Yeah, the air filters and gas and but the air filters are the big ones.
Which you know, it's kind of important in the submarine.
Yeah, that so you know we don't all die. We need air to not die.
I don't know.
So this reads like it's got like every World War II / spy movie trope in it. You know, the super talented soldier who doesn't follow orders, but whom we need, but he happens to actually be in jail. So we have to take him out of jail so that he can assemble his team, quote unquote, of equally offbeat characters, that aren't, you know, by the book people. There's a little bit of Wonder Woman in this as well.
Well, there's a lot in it. Yeah, it actually kind of feels like. I don't know if this is this. Ian Fleming is a character in this.
Ian Fleming. Well, to be fair, but Ian Fleming was naval intelligence during World War II.
And exactly. And so I don't recall if Ian Fleming ever used this particular kind of trope in his writings. He probably did. And so. But this is one of those cases where apparently life is stranger than fiction or dictates what we all thought was fantasy and is actually a reality.
Yeah, I will assume, not being a history buff or not being a history scholar in this instance, that the bones of this are legit. And then
that's about all I know.
And then Guy Ritchie gets his hands on it.
Yeah, so I don't know. Well, I can guarantee. Well, I know a lot of it. What happens is real. How it happens and the personalities of the individuals involved and whatnot. Now that's an entirely different thing.
But I'm fairly certain that at their core they're all pretty accurate. But then they're all blowed up. So. But yes, all of these people are real. All of these characters existed as real, actual people. We learn what happened to them at the end. As we get, this character actually had this happen after this operation. And this one did this and this one did that. Henry Cavill's character, supposedly the basis for James Bond. According to the end credits.
Which, in this case... the character that Henry Cavill's playing does not feel like the Bond that we
this is not the suave Sean Connery Bond. This is more like the down and dirty early Daniel Craig Bond.
It would have to be before Daniel Craig's Bond figured things out.
Right.
I guess.
That would be March Phillips. Gus March Phillips. Bond is much better of a name for this. Alan Richin plays a Dutch aristocrat
who he's awesome.
Likes to kill people a lot. I don't mean that he enjoys killing people. He enjoys killing them a lot. He doesn't kill them. Yes. He kills them a lot.
No. With arrows and knives,
and
if he has to use a gun, if he can use an axe, he'll use an axe.
He's unstable at best, and slightly homicidal at worst. Does not like Nazis. But you know what? A lot of your Nords did not.
Well,
during the war.
Yes. And apparently the real person, not the actor in this, but the real person's family was split in two by, in both directions. Half of his family sided with the Nazis and half of his family didn't. And so there was a lot of discord.
Yes.
And so he was really pissed off because, he lost
his family.
Hitler cost him his family, maybe not in the same way that the, you know, Jewish families lost each other, but he was not happy with.
Yeah. Not a lot of people were happy with the Nazis. So that works out. The weirdest part of this whole thing, and you watch it and you understand, again, based on true events, you know how much we love that. They blow everything up and you watch it, and it does almost feel like an early Mission Impossible movie with Tom Cruise in how often things go wrong and how often they have to reconfigure their plans. But honestly, the thing that felt the most contrived was Isa Gonzalez's character and that subplot, even though she was a real character and did some of the things that happened in this movie.
Well, I'm torn because she's either the best part of this film or she's quite possibly the worst, and it has nothing to do with acting.
No,
it's because there is relatively no tension when it comes to the other male characters, and I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing, but they, you know, they are macho, they're able to do their stuff, they figure things out, sometimes they just get lucky, that sort of thing, whereas her character is actually put into situations that are rather dangerous.
First person harm.
Yes. So, she's supposed to basically distract and, to a certain extent, seduce the worst man in the movie.
Yes.
The guy who loves being a Nazi way more than anyone should.
He's like the Nazi version of Alan Richman's character. Richman's character.
But you can't root for it.
No, but he's got the exact same mindset. He Richman likes killing Nazis and old Heinrich Luhr, played by Til Schweiger, likes to kill people because he can. That's really, but he's in charge of all of the Nazis in this area. So.
You know, and he might have actually a good backstory that we don't know why he does what he does and whatever. But there's no time for that.
No, I think the problem with the Isa Gonzalez character is it totally doesn't fit the rest of the movie.
Yes, and that's the problem. Because she is. It's a very serious. There's not. It's not the jovial stuff.
No.
That everything else is. Her character is the World War II film that you probably are expecting.
Yeah.
It's the serious tone, the stakes are extremely high, and you feel every moment that something, you know, something terrible could happen to her at any moment.
Fact.
And that's well established by the film. This isn't just us bringing that sense to the film. It's in the film.
Yes.
I like the story, and I think that the film can't work completely without it. But I do think that if there's an element to this film that just doesn't ever really resolve itself, it's that.
Yeah. It's just a weird thing. However, overall, as an action film in the Guy Ritchie vein, it's good. It's not his best.
No, but it's fun. It's witty. Again, the action is a little gruff and not exactly choreography. You know, there's no choreography here. This isn't a John Wick thing or whatever.
It's walk by shoot or grab the axe and hack. It's
let's not take our time. Let's
it's,
just keep this open.
It's not, I mean, even, you know, Ilya Kuryakin in Man from U.N.C.L.E., you know, Army Hammer, that he was not this rough. I mean, and he was, you know, paired with Napoleon Solo. Yeah. So, you know, also Henry Cavill. So the fact that this is even gruffer than, you know, Kuryakin in U.N.C.L.E., that's saying something, because, you know, at any moment in that film, you know, you're just waiting for him to snap and just start tearing people's arms off. And in this one, Alan Richardson does.
Well, so, yeah. I mean, so, you know, as a prequel, that, yes, this is when they're not grown up enough to be, you know, keep their violence in check, I guess.
Yeah. So, but again, I still like U.N.C.L.E. more than this.
I think U.N.C.L.E. is a better movie. Even if we could somehow take Army Hammer out of it. So I didn't think about particular things
right
every time he came on screen. Yes.
Yeah. But it is a better film. But again, this one's not bad. Bad. It is fun. Again, there's that weird tonal thing with Isaac Gonzalez's character. But she's great at it. It's just they don't click the two pieces together necessarily of the film. So, but it's not bad at all.
One of these kids smell like the others, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'll tell you to watch it. I think, you know, everyone, you know, Rory Kinnear is in it as Winston Churchill, which is a weird choice, but it worked. I name dropped him earlier, Till Schweiger, who plays Heinrich Luhr, the evil Nazi. Oh my God. He's awesome. Yeah. That's like Christoph Waltz level of just sociopathy.
Let's just go in, dive in, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because, I mean, you obviously, there is a certain sense, this feels a little bit like a Tarantino film. And because it kind of rubs shoulders with Inglourious Basterds, the styles are different enough that for the most part you won't confuse the two. But this film, there are little moments here and there that could be in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah,
they're not, obviously, and this story is true, and that one is not at all.
No.
But this
one feels like we've seen it all before. Again, it's you know, truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this mission might be classified, but somebody knew and a story was told here and it became this other thing. And then it winds up in a movie.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, this is, you know, what was it when, you know, when The Fifth Element was made, everyone loved it. And then Luc Besson turned around and he tried to make Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets or whatever.
Yes.
Everyone was like, oh, this feels different. Well, that was the source material, but he had already cribbed a bunch of it for The Fifth Element. So it's kind of the same phenomena here, is that this is the source material for a lot of the stuff that we're saying this.
Yeah.
That you can say this is kind of ripping off. It's like, well, no. This is where all that kind of probably came from.
Yeah. A lot of it. You know, and I don't know. I mean, I think that it is an enjoyable film. It's violent, but not particularly bloody. There is some blood, but a lot, not as much as you would. I take that back.
Yeah.
There's
on the boat,
the boat.
Well, both boats actually, both. The opening scene. Yeah, there's a lot of blood. It is rated R.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and I want to name drop one more because I know you and I, you'll appreciate it. And I want to plug it. Ian Fleming, who we already mentioned is in the film, was played by Freddie Fox. And I couldn't figure out where I knew him from. He plays a complete douchebag in the Apple Plus series Slow Horses, which is a great show.
Yeah, it is.
Great show. So if you have Apple Plus and you haven't watched Slow Horses yet, go watch Slow Horses.
I haven't watched the most recent, so that is one I need to go back and catch up on.
Yeah, the season two. I think they said they're going to make season three.
Yeah,
and God, I hope so. That's just such a great show.
it's a go.
You get gruff old Gary Oldman in that, by the way. That's my tangent. So if you like, if you want to watch Gary Oldman, just be a complete dick to all of these MI5 agents. That's definitely the show for you.
He's over it.
Yes, he is 100%. He's over it, but he's also neck deep in it. That's the great part of him. So yeah, so that's the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Tomorrow or today, depending on when you actually listen to this. April 19th is when this comes out. Hey everyone, welcome back to season 9 of the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. If you like what you're seeing and hearing, please feel free to like us, share us, follow us wherever you're listening to us, actually. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe. That would be great. Go to the website at vsmoviepodcast.com, and that will give you links to all of our socials. It'll give you write-ups of stuff that's not audio, but you'll get pretty much everything there. So if you like what you're seeing and hearing, make sure you share it with everyone else. Now let's get back to the show.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's coming out up against a not Guy Ritchie action movie. It's coming out against another horror comedy or comedy horror.
Sort of.
However you'd like to look at it. Abigail. Once I accidentally saw the trailer for this, I think I actually took my wife to a movie, so we had previews. So I couldn't not watch it. And I was like, I have to see this movie. And it's good. It's fun. Here's the... People kidnap a girl and they get locked in this building and bad things happen. And if you've watched the trailer, you already know the secret. And that's the biggest problem with this film.
Absolutely.
Marketing people need to be shot that worked on this trailer. Because this movie... So that's the set. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because you might not have seen the trailer yet. Don't go watch it if you haven't. Just go in and be surprised, even though you can kind of maybe figure it out if you haven't already been exposed to it. Locked in the house with this 12-year-old little ballerina girl and that they're holding for ransom, whose father is an underworld figure, and bad things start to happen and the blood starts to flow. A lot of blood. Lots of blood. Way more blood than the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. It's horror. It's comedy. I was worried that it was going to be too funny. We talked in Sting about how there needs to be a balance if you're going to do both. And I thought Sting had it. It was more horrific than comic. This, I was concerned, was going to go the other way. I think the amount of blood in this helps offset some of the comedy, but there is some comedic elements to it and some funny scenes.
Yeah.
So it's enjoyable in that way. I guess, apparently this is a remake of Dracula's Daughter. So I went and I looked up like the plot for Dracula's Daughter, and I was like, barely a remake of, so I don't consider a remake. I just think it's something else. It's just this thing that's there.
There is a whole element of that in this, but this is not really, this is not the story that you would think, I guess. If that's what you're going for, you're probably not going to be too happy.
Yeah. The cast in this one, though, is also pretty good. Melissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, William Catlett, Catherine Newton, Kevin Durand, Angus Cloud, Giancarlo Esposito, and young Alicia Weir is Abigail. I would like to point out, and I did in my written review, that this is the second comedy horror this year that I have seen Melissa Barrera in, having watched Your Monster during Sundance, which was great. And unfortunately, I wonder if she's going to keep shooting herself in the foot, and she's not going to keep being given these opportunities to entertain us in this way. But we'll see. Dan Stevens. Every time I see Dan Stevens now, his American accent is both convincing and completely ridiculous. Every time I see him. Because he does a lot of movies where he has to carry an American accent. And it's funny and yet convincing at the same time. So I haven't figured that out yet. I think I enjoyed it more than you did, but I enjoy it more probably for the comic aspects of it in this case.
Yeah. And my main problem with this film is I don't think it commits to being a comedy or a horror film, or figures out a way to be both.
Right.
To me, the best way I can describe it is it's like you have a tug of war and nobody really wants to win. I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
there's two directors on this, which makes you wonder.
Yes. Well, and I would be more critical of this less critical probably if it was terrible.
Right.
The problem is it's not terrible. It's just
terrible.
I've seen a lot of terrible, particularly when it comes to horror movies. But it's almost more disappointing when you go to a horror film and it's like, you know what? They shot some really good stuff in there. Some of that worked. Some of that worked. That didn't work too. You know, I think that this particular film needed to just say, look, we're going to go camp and we're going to lay into the camp. And you can still be fairly serious and do the camp.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost felt like they didn't want the camp to be as campy as it should have been, I guess.
Right.
I think it would have been more, I don't know. And part of the problem, too, is there's stuff in this that we've seen quite recently.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain elements to, the creature, the monster, the evil, or whatever, right, that are very reminiscent of something else that we just saw last year or the year before, I don't recall, but recently.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we kind of had this gimmick, and I think it kind of worked better in the other thing. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with this, but I don't think I'll need to ever see it again.
Yeah, this is not going to age as well as the other one. But I think it's a fun time if you have a group of people. It's not like a date movie, but if you have a group of friends that like, you know, horror / with a comic bent, it would probably be a fun visit for you.
Yeah, sure.
So it's good.
It's a movie that feels like you should be drinking.
Yes.
So, well, the characters do. Absolutely, the characters drink in this one.
Yeah, that's part of their mistake.
Well, or maybe it's what, you know, I don't know. But,
well, you know what? This is not as good a drinking, like, midnight movie as I said Hundreds of Beavers would be.
Probably not.
Hundreds of Beavers, I think, is still going to, for 2024, it's going to be my drinking midnight movie standard.
And I think you could actually argue that, yeah, there's been a few films that you could put before this, but this is people trapped in a house,
right,
trying to get out. They are legitimate criminals who are not, you know, they're not great people. They've been assembled to kidnap a rich individual's daughter.
Yep. Okay, under the guise of, okay, we kidnapped the daughter. We're going to give each of you $7 million to go and whatever your life.
Yep.
Everyone's got a backstory.
Even though we're not supposed to tell them. No name, no real names, and no backstories.
But people being people, that stuff manages to work its way out. But there's not really. You're obviously supposed to like certain characters more than others.
Yeah.
There is some trickery that happens. What else? I don't know. I mean, it's not bad.
No, it's
it's just, unfortunately, it's also one of those things that it's hard to talk about because there's an element of it that's, you know, that kind of launches the other stuff.
Yeah.
And that plot point is, if you don't know, it's better. And again, that's the trailer that ruined things here.
Yep.
Because it takes away, you know, it's not, you know what, it's not even just the trailer. It's the poster.
Yeah.
It's the way they've advertised it.
There's,
it's
the,
you know,
the whoa, I mean, moment is missing when you're watching it.
Yeah. Because they've already
told you that it's coming.
Yeah. And but that moment comes fairly early in the film,
but still,
and that's kind of another, maybe the problem is that the big whoa moment does happen maybe too soon.
Yeah. Or, there needed to be more ambiguity.
Because the only real tension in the film comes from that. And once that's kind of shown, I don't think it's nearly as terrifying.
Yeah.
I think it's the sort of thing where, you know, maybe you save the monster for the final act, or that you don't show your monster too early.
Right.
If you show them too early, they're not as scary.
And that was the problem we had with Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Yeah.
They had a great creature design and then felt compelled to show it to us a lot.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have.
So,
I'm not going to tell you not to see this film.
Yeah.
But, again, it had some potential, but I just think that it didn't really live up to all that potential. And I don't know if the studio said, hey, it's got to be more this, and they were like, right, no, it's got to be more that. But it really, to me, felt like a tug of war was happening, and neither side was completely convinced that their side should win. It just wasn't that, I don't know. So it wasn't funny enough for me. Or there were things in it that are too funny to work as just, you know, I don't know. It's a weird sort of space that it's occupying.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, but I won't tell you not to watch it either.
There are much, much worse horror films. But again, you know, I mean, I guess when you make an okay horror film that I really that bugs me more than if you make a horrible film,
right?
A horror film, because, you know, there was no potential in that idea, or we've seen all that before or whatever. And this one, it's like,
you see the movie, see the movie you could have had in this one.
And so,
but it's not disappointing enough to tell you to skip it. So
no, it's not. And you know, I don't know. Are they going to try to do a franchise with this? I guess you could.
I hope not.
I wouldn't recommend it necessarily. I hate
that we're apparently getting Megan too. And it's like, why? No, just leave the little thing alone. You nailed it. Just move along.
Yeah, they can't.
Nope, they're incapable of doing that.
Yeah.
That is it for this week, because you didn't watch the other one.
No,
that opens tomorrow, and I need to write my review.
There you go. Yeah.
But if you want to know, that's called Hard Miles, and it stars Matthew Modine. So I'll be writing that review as well. That is it for this week. We actually have no screeners next week. No in-theater screenings next week.
Yeah.
Which, shocking.
I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, no, I am too. But Zendaya's Challengers opens next week, which is probably part of the reason.
And I'm going to have to try to get into that because missed the first screening. But anyway.
Yep, like I said, I will. I think I'm going to be talking to a friend of the podcast, Val Cameron, this weekend about that. Now I want to see what she thinks of this movie because I know what I think of this movie. I want to see what her point of view on it is. So watch for that. We should probably if we can make that conversation happen, that'll drop next week. So that's it. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like us, follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast if you're on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, or Visually Stunning Movie Podcast if you're here on YouTube. Or, you know, Instagram threads, that kind of thing. So we do have other movies to talk about, which we will. But until we do, be good, stay safe. See something good. There's a couple in theaters still, up to and including these that we talked about today. So till we talk to you again, I am Mark. That is Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
See you, friends.
And we'll talk to everyone later.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.